2 Kings 15, verse 1. In the 27th year, Jeroboam, king of Israel, began Azariah, son of Amaziah, king of Judah, to reign. 16 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. Howbeit, the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. And the Lord smote the king, so that he was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a separate house. And Jotham the king's son was over the household, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Azariah, and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Judah? And Azariah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the city of David, and Jotham his son reigned in his stead. Very brief. A man's reign of 52 years condensed into 7 verses. Now, it tells us about Chronicles. Let's look to 2 Chronicles, chapter 26. Now, this chapter has 23 verses. I want to read this chapter to you. And all the people of Judah took Uzziah. You say, well, who is this Uzziah? He is Azariah. He is called in the scripture both Uzziah and Azariah. And they took him who was 16 years old and made him king in the room of his father, Amaziah. He built Elath and restored it to Judah, after that the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. And he set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the vision of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines, and brake down the wall of Gath, and the wall of Jabne, and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities in the country of Ashdod, and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines, and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerubbaal and Munim. And the Ammonites gave tribute to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad, even to the entrance of Egypt, for he waxed exceeding strong. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, and at the valley gate, and at the turning of the wall, and fortified them. And he built towers in the wilderness, and hewed out many cisterns, for he had much cattle in the lowland also, and in the plain. And he had husbandmen and vine dressers in the mountains, and in the fruitful fields, for he loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of fighting men that went out to war by bands according to the number of their reckoning made by Jael the scribe, and Maaseiah, the officer, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the heads of fathers' houses, even the mighty men of valor, was 2,600. And under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500, that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them, even for all the host, shields and spears and helmets and coats of mail and bows and stones for slinging. And he made in Jerusalem engines, invented by skillful men, to be on the towers and upon the battlements, wherewith to shoot arrows and great stones. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up, so that he did corruptly, and he trespassed against the Lord his God. For he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It pertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the son of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy brake forth in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord beside the altar of incense. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out quickly from thence, yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a separate house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, write. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of burial, which belonged to the king. For they said, He is a leper, and Jotham his son reigned in his stead. Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah had done, howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are so glad for these warnings, these instructions, these encouragements, the histories of these mighty men in the eyes of the world, those that have elevated stations in life that we read about. Let us know that our hearts thrill when we have been permitted by thy Spirit to read of these men that were blessed of God and judged of God according to their actions. We pray that we shall take it to heart. We pray that since these things were written for our learning, that we shall obtain patience and comfort and hope. So grant this by thy Spirit, cleansing and power and preparation of heart and all that's necessary, our God, to have thy lambs and sheep fed and strengthened. Give us a worthwhile time this evening, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. There were other passages that I could have read. You remember in the first place, in Kings, it says, the rest of his acts are written in the book of Chronicles. And so I read to you from Chronicles. But where did Chronicles say something else was written about him? In Isaiah. Where? You don't know, do you? Well, you wouldn't find very much. There may have been some other things that Isaiah wrote that we know nothing about. But the most important thing that we know about it was this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And then he's mentioned also in chapter 7 and elsewhere. And he's mentioned in two other books in the Old Testament. He's mentioned in the book of Amos, and he's mentioned in the book of Zechariah. He's also mentioned in the genealogy of our Savior in the Gospel of Matthew, not in the Gospel of Luke. And so by seeing a little bit about the man, if you had been reading in 1 Kings, you would have said, well, this Azariah isn't very important, And then if you read just a little bit once in a while, when you came over and started reading about an Uzziah, you would say, well, this was a great man. So unlike that other man, Azariah, that I read about, but you would be reading about the same man. And so it's so important to read the whole comment contained in the Word of God about a man for this reason. Did it not pick your curiosity when it said that God smote him? He was a leper. I would want to know why that happened. And we are not told anything about it in the book of Kings, but we are told all about it in the book of Chronicles. And this reminds us of the life of our Lord in the gospel, because some people say, now, Matthew looked at the gospel of Mark and copied everything he had and added the notes that he knew about it, and then Luke copied Matthew and Mark, all that he had, and other sources. But it isn't that way. Because at times you will find things in one gospel that had they read the other gospel, you would ask the question, why did he leave that out? And so it's not that here is all the information that Mark gives me, and so I will copy it all down and add what information I have. Because if that were so, then the author of Kings knew nothing about what we have in Chronicles. But I believe he did know about it. But God at times stays a man's hand and says, write briefly about Azariah. Call him Azariah. And then in the book of Chronicles, God says, write at length about this man. Give details about this man. And so it may be your lot for somebody who wants to be your biographer, putting your whole life in 7 verses, and nobody knows much about you other than that you were an important person and you were afflicted with a disease and you died. And they wonder, why is that? That happens so often when I'm looking up my ancestors. I'll find something, and yet I don't know the details, and I do not know how to find out this information. But I do know how to find out this information about Azariah, because it says, look in the book of Chronicles. But God at times says, write just a little bit about Azariah. And then he says in Chronicles, write a lot about Azariah and designate him as Uzziah here. And so understand that this is the way God's word is. It is written by inspiration, and no one can conceive just why there is a brief account in Kings and a full account in Chronicles. Why you have so many things in John's gospel that you find nowhere in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. No one can tell you that. The higher critics try to tell you, but then they give you their theory, and you start putting it to the test in all 4 gospels, and you'll find that it breaks down. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and he is sovereign, and he arbitrarily, according to his own wisdom, says, leave this out, put this in. And this is what we have when it comes to these individuals. Now, what I would like to tell you about this man is that there was someone in his life who had a great influence upon him, and his name was Zechariah, who had understanding in the vision of God. It says, and as long as he sought the Lord God, he made him to prosper. Now think a moment. When something like this is told us about a man, think of a man in his formative years and what individual during those years pointed him in a certain direction. I mentioned that because I've told you in past weeks about others who had influence over the lives of these kings, and I told you about a little boy named Joash. And who was the one that had influence over him? Does any brother know? Jehoiada. Well, let me ask you this. There was one of David's sons named Amnon, and there was someone who had a great influence in his life. What was his name? Jonadab. There was another person named Athaliah who had influence over her son Azariah. And so think for a moment, because as I read this, I thought of the other men and how they were influenced. And it says that Joash went on for God all the days of the life of Jehoiada the priest, and he lived to be 130 years old. Think of that. How gracious God was. But then Jehoiada the priest died, and then other counsel was given to Joash, and then Joash departed from God. Now, in two of these instances that I told you about, the influence was good, and in two of the instances, the influence was bad. And it shows you that evil companionships corrupt good morals, and if you have someone that is close to God, interested in the things of God, he can be a great influence in your life. And it can be a mother, as Athaliah, but that mother can destroy you as well as bless your soul and the use of God to save your soul. It says concerning Timothy that from an infant, the word is brepha, from an infant thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in our Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, this faith dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. You have no doubt that his mother Eunice had it imparted by her mother Lois, and Eunice imparted this wisdom to Timothy. But it is not always that way. You have mothers in the Word of God that do not encourage their children to live for God. At times, they destroy them. But when Timothy stands before God and his mother stands with him, he can say, thank you, mother, for bringing me up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And in hell, when Herodias married Herod, and she directed her daughter, perhaps Salome, to ask for the head of John the Baptist, and they're both in hell, she will turn to her mother and say, so this is the course that you directed my life in. And so think of that. And so here also is Athaliah, and I told you this, do you remember? She was the daughter of Omri. And Omri was the father of Ahab, who married that wicked woman Jezebel. And it says Athaliah was influential in the life of her son Azariah. And so here is a mother who can turn her son to idolatry and Baal worship. Here is a mother who can turn her daughter into a murderess. And this is what happens. And so, you mothers and fathers, you do what you can to bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If you bring them up and they depart from God, you can say, my hands are pure. But I hate to think of a mother who would push her child in the direction of a Salome, or who would push her son in the direction of an Azariah, as Athaliah did, Ahaziah rather. Why Athaliah would direct her son into Baal worship. But it happens. But sometimes, and this is something that is incomprehensible, you get one son that is not greatly influenced by any person, but still he goes on for God, and he can be put in a bad environment, and still he lives for God. You can't always understand just how things work out. But I can understand this. It says that Athaliah directed her son in Baal worship, and he followed his mother's instructions. And at the same time, you will find that here is Herodias, and she directed her daughter to ask for murder, and this daughter followed her mother's instructions. But thank God, in the man that we have before us tonight, Uzziah, he had a prophet whose name was Zechariah, and it says that this Zechariah had understanding in the vision of God. And so here is Uzziah, and in the presence of Zechariah, he would impart to him all of this understanding that he had of God. How good to have a man at your right hand who is able to tell you things of God. You see, there are some that have special insight into the things of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it speaks about those that have the gift of discernment. There are those that can see things, that can interpret things, and so we look to them. And it says in Ephesians 4 that Christ, having ascended on high, he led captive and gave gifts unto men. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. unto the work of the ministry. And so God has given these men, and there are some, such as Isaiah, who say, Zechariah, you have ability to see things that I do not have. I want you to tell me about these things. And so Zechariah imparts to the king something that the king has not of himself. You see, there is in your power something of value that even a king does not possess. I am debtor, Paul says, to the whole world. And you have a spiritual enrichment with which to pay off that debt. You have the knowledge of salvation. You have that which is of such great value that it can save a man from destruction, can give him the peace of God that passeth understanding, can assure him a place in heaven. And so, in one sense, you're like Zechariah, because you can have an influence upon the world if we only would. And so let us seek out those who will be influenced by what information, what visions we have of God, because we have seen the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And so let us tell those who come into our area about this vision that we have from God and trust that they will be influenced as well. And so remember, I told you that those that came to mind were a priest and a prophet and a mother, and Jonadab was Amnon's cousin. And so it may be a relative as near as a mother or as distant as a cousin. And it may be no relative at all. It may be simply a man who is a priest in the Old Testament, who is a prophet. But all of them influence these other individuals. And we are influenced by other people. And I hope that you are one who, when evil influences come your way, as we'll pick this up in the Will of God Wednesday, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. If someone such as Athaliah tries to come and turn you in the direction of idolatry and Balaamism, then you eschew evil as Job did. You be unmovable. This is what God wants. But at the same time, if someone comes in your direction and causes you to walk in the direction of God, then be amenable and malleable and let them mold your life through the Word of God. But be sure you know the difference between a good influence and a bad influence. But what is heartbreaking is this, is that after 130 years, you would think that Joash would have learned his lesson. Here is a man that God permitted to live this long, and he taught me as long as he lived, well then I'm grounded in the ways of Jehoiada the priest. But as soon as this influence died, then Joash departed from the ways of God. And this is what is so sad. There are some people, and you're influential in their lives, and they will go on as long as you prod them, you're behind them, you encourage them, but then you step out of their life, and instead of going on, immediately they become stagnant, or they go backward. That is so sad. I can't understand it for this reason. I remember out in California, as a young boy, when I was 19 years old, I had some Navy boys that helped me, J. Leroy Coolman, who led me to the Lord, and other Navy boys. And then when I came to Raleigh, North Carolina, there was Jimmy Chapel and Luther Wilson and others. But finally, these men died. But when they died, I did not say, well, I'm not going to read God's Word anymore. I'm not going to meetings anymore. I'm not going to witness and serve the Lord anymore. Why, the things that they had imparted to me, I took up, and I trust that I'm passing them on to you. That's what God wants. That is why it is so sad when you have a good minister at a denomination, or sad to say, in an assembly, and that man is taken away, then the assembly goes down. It is good that you have this man's influence, but eventually you have to be able to stand on your own feet. If not, then in some respects, the influence of this man has been temporary. It hasn't been of a permanent nature. As the Apostle Paul says, I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus Christ that nothing is unclean of itself. And yet there are some who will go and listen to Jehoiada and say, now, what should I do in this instance? And Jehoiada will say, this is what God's Word says. Do this. And so Joash would go and do that. And this problem has arisen in my life. What does the Word of God say about this? And Another counselor would say, such as Zechariah, well, from all that I've seen in visions of God, this is what you should do. And so, Uzziah would do that. But then Jehoiada dies, and Zechariah dies, and then these men, who had been so well instructed by these men of God, then they depart from God. That's what's so sad. And it's like this. If I teach you to gather to the name of the Lord, if I have taught you the principles of understanding the Scriptures, and you follow them as long as I'm here, but as soon as I leave, you say, I'm not going to read 2 Chronicles and Isaiah and Amos and Zechariah. I'm just going to read those 7 verses in Kings. Then I failed. Thank God I'm here getting behind you and prodding you on. But unless you learn the principles and carry on, then success has been partial. It has been complete. And so may you all turn out as a Timothy and not as Uzziah and not as Joash. Thank God for any influence we have upon others. But if when that influence goes, because Paul died, I trust that Timothy went on, and Jehoiada died, and I know that Joash did not go on. But what God wants is as Paul exhorts Timothy. He says, the things which thou hast heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. This thing has to be carried on. But if Paul teaches it to Timothy and it stops there because the time of Paul's departure is at hand, then where would we be? How far would Christianity have progressed? It would not. And so God expects us to impart it to faithful men. You know not these faithful men, but God expects you to try to seek them out and pass it on to faithful men. And please notice that there is the responsibility of preaching the gospel to every creature, but in this instance, Paul gave to Timothy, and he said, Timothy, you commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Here is the responsibility of the teacher. Why, when the Lord Jesus spoke to Peter in the Gospel of John, he did not say, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, as he did in Mark's gospel. But he said, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my lamb, feed my sheep. Do you see the difference? We have a responsibility to the world to give them the gospel. But then if you love the Lord Jesus, then you have a responsibility to God's lamb and God's sheep. And so be a Christian who is a Berean. You do not take what I say or any man says, but you receive it politely, in a gentlemanly-like way. There are some people who hear something that they are not familiar with, that's different from anything they've learned, and they refuse to receive it. But the Bereans received it with all readiness of mind, and they went home and searched the Scriptures daily, whether it's so. If not, you'll be just like Joash. Jehoiada, what's the answer? Jehoiada, thank God for this man, will say, the answer is this. But what if you have a man that gives you the wrong answer? What then? And so there are some who are as strong and as grounded in the Word as the man that they listen to. But there comes a time when you have to be grounded in the Word. You have to be able to say with Paul, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus Christ that nothing is unclean of itself. And so these were the ones that were influential in his life, in the lives of these, as in the life of Uzziah the priest. He's such a wonderful man. I know I would have liked him for this reason. He was a many-faceted man. He was a militarist. And think of all of these responsibilities. God had made him king. And he looked out over his people, and it was his responsibility to protect these people from the enemy. And so, he had an army. And he was one who cared for his army. What would you think of a king who has an army and sends them forth to meet the enemy, but he says, get any kind of weapon you can. You just come and fight for me. But instead of that, he provided shields and swords and spears, and not only that, but engines of wars, marvelous inventions. He was one who provided his army with the very best equipment. And not only that, but he was one who had fortifications made. He didn't send them forth with just equipment that they could use, but he had cities that were fortified, and he had all things that were necessary to win battles. And so you say, well, thank God we have a good military leader. Well, that's fine. But so often, a man who excels in one area is weak in another. But he wasn't that way at all. He was one who had policies in different cities, as well as home policies. Home policies, foreign policies that were successful. And then, he was both a farmer and an agriculturist, because it says that he had cattle and he hired many men that were vine dressers and husbandmen, because he was an agriculturalist. And it says that he had fruitful fields and he loved husbandry. This is so interesting. Here is a man that is an expert in war, and you see him superintending the making swords and spears and knives and weapons of war. And then he says, "And now, I have another journey to take tomorrow. Where are you going?" He says, "I'm going to look at my garden." Isn't that beautiful? You see, because just for the reason that a man knows about war, it doesn't mean that he has to be one who is uninterested in botany and in husbandry and in cattle. He was interested in all of these things. And it's so sad when Christians know so little about other things that God has placed in His creation. I like to know all about the birds of the air, because the Lord Jesus said, "Consider the birds of the air," and all about flowers, because He said, "Consider the lilies of the field," and all about trees. "Now from the fig tree, learn her parable." And He speaks about the foxes that have holes and the birds of the air that have nests. So many things, and the Lord tells us about those. And so let us be those who, while we have a paramount interest in the Word of God, that at the same time we look at the Word of God and know about it in relation to cattle. Because God tells us about cattle. He tells us about cedar trees. He tells us about, and I was just hearing this today, the hyssop that springeth from the wall. Solomon knew all about these things. And so let us have a variety of interest, lest we be so boring. It's so easy to be that way. I'm thankful to God that I enjoy reading and music and art and so many different things. And because there are some people who are bored and they get old and they have nothing to do, it's such a sad thing. Whereas if we were as Uzziah, why, we could be interested in military pursuits and at the same time in a garden, taking care of cattle, and farming, and inventions, and vines, and flowers, and all of these things. And at the same time, we would call friends in and say, "Tell me things of God." And so here is a man whose life was ever so full. And it says, "As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up." It says his name spread abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. And this was his downfall. As long as he had this influence of Zechariah, as long as he humbled himself and was dependent upon God, he was marvelously helped. But when he was strong, he was like Satan, who said, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High," if we may apply Isaiah 14 to Satan. Here is one in whose heart pride is found. And when this happened, God smote him with leprosy. Now, think a moment. I want you to see this. You should think of what brought this judgment upon him, and you should think of others. You realize that no less than four in the Scriptures, more than that, but four that we know by name, are found having leprosy. There is Miriam, and there is Naaman, and there is Gehazi, and there is Uzziah. I could tell you about Moses, who momentarily in his life had leprosy when God told him to put his hand in his bosom. I shan't mention him. But please remember Miriam. She was smitten with leprosy by God. Naaman the Syrian, and also Gehazi. How remarkable, when God tells us about all of these cases of leprosy, that we do not compare them. And in the case of Miriam, it was because she rebuked her brother Moses for choosing a bride that she did not find suitable. And so God smote Miriam with leprosy because of her rebuke of Moses, this man of God. And so it was her rebuke, her speaking out of turn. God smote her with leprosy. Now, when it comes to Naaman, inasmuch as the Lord tells us nothing about it, I assume that he has leprosy in a natural way because of ordinary men that contract the disease of leprosy. And so in his case, it was something that was of nature, not the direct intervention of God, but diseases that are among men because of sin being in the world. And so that's the second reason. But in the case of Gehazi, it was covetousness. Do you remember that? When Naaman, the Syrian, had been cleansed of his leprosy, Elisha would take nothing from him. But Gehazi said, well, I'm going to get something from that man. And he went out and told lies. And then he came back and told a lie to Elisha. And Elisha pronounced this judgment upon him. The leprosy of Naaman, the Syrian, shall be upon you. And so it was covetousness in his case. And here is another judgment of leprosy. And here it is the cause of pride. You see how the Lord teaches us this way as we go through the scriptures? And so you say, well, I'm not proud. Well, it may be that you speak loosely with your words. You are not to speak against one that has a position over you in the Lord. You are to esteem exceeding highly in love for their work's sake certain ones that have a place over you. And so watch what you say against them. Your tongue may get you in trouble. And then at the same time, watch your habits and try to keep clean and live in a healthful way, or nature may cause some disease to come upon you. And then take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And then let not your heart be filled with pride, because even though God has helped this man so many years, when he sinned and when he presumed to leave the post of being king and assume the position of being priest, God smote him with leprosy. There are some things in life that God withholds from even kings. But a man who has been privileged like this, who is blessed of God in such a variety of ways, why, he says, there's only one place higher that I can go, and that is I can assume the priesthood. And so without consulting Azariah, and this would be enough to confuse you, if we read about it in Kings, it would be Azariah the priest and Azariah the king. But fortunately, he's called Uzziah here. But the priest, Azariah, when Uzziah presumed to burn incense before the Lord, it says, he and 80 other priests, mighty men of valor. How would you like to go into a king that has an army of over 300,000 valiant men and tell him what to do and what not to do? And yet these men risked their lives because they said, it is not your position to offer incense. It is the priest's position. And then he was angry with them. Now, had he simply said, yes, I've overstepped my bounds, then God could have withheld it from him. But he became angry at this rebuke. And when that happened, God smote him with leprosy. And sad to say, it remained upon him for the rest of his life. In the case of Gehazi, beyond his lifetime. Thankfully, in the case of Miriam, ever so briefly. In the case of Uzziah, as long as he lives. Do you see how the judgments of God affect us? Sometimes very briefly, and they can be removed. Sometimes for a lifetime, and then sometimes they are passed on to our children as well. And so let us be careful about covetousness, about pride, and about a desire to be something that God does not want us to be. Ever so many lessons in the case of Uzziah. The time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for this man that thou hast set before us. We are thankful for all the good lessons we can learn from him. We are thankful also for this lesson of pride. Thou dost know how easy it is to think that we can overstep the bounds that thou hast set before us. Let us not presume to be something or do something you have not authorized us to do or be. And our Father, we pray that if we do sin against thee, we may not increase the judgment that comes upon us by being angry when we are told of the sins we commit. But let us accept them humbly, and then perhaps graciously, as in the case of Miriam, this judgment shall be temporary. But help our hearts to be exercised by those that influence us for good, and then help us to be able to stand on our own two feet and carry on for God. Let us not disappoint these men like Jehoiada and Zechariah and the Apostle Paul, but let us carry on and pass on the good things that we have been taught to others. Let us be teachers, and let us be learners as well. Bless us to this end, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.